thinking a while ago when I flubbed the dub on that song. Hallelujah. I'm gonna let you have this, Pastor. Amen. When I was 19 years old, I had an opportunity to go to a Billy Graham crusade in Chicago. And we were at McCormick Place, 44,000 people, or that's how many could sit in there, and so legally. So they had it filled up with people. George Beverly Shea, remember him? How Great Thou Art, that was his song, remember? George Beverly Shea walked up to the microphone, picked up the mic, sang the first verse and got to the second verse and forgot it. He just simply said, Mama told me there'd be days like this. And I figured, well, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me today. Anyway, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. We had a good time last night. We talked about the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible reveals that Jesus had more than 12 disciples. He had 70 in addition to those 12. And so he takes the 70 aside and he says, guys, I want you to do something. I want you to go out into the villages around about, and I want you to do two things. First thing I want you to do is heal the sick. You know, if I was going to send somebody out, Pastor Paul, I'd tell them to go out and preach wild, you know, get up and testify and give an invitation, get people saved, get them filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, isn't that the way we do it? But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, and by the way, Jesus did talk about us going and preaching and doing all those things. But Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to go out, and the first thing I want you to do is heal the sick. Why? Why do we go out and do something like that before we've ever really introduced them to Jesus? Well, Jesus wanted the disciples to get the people's attention. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John go into the temple. I mentioned this last night in one of my points in the message. So they're going into the temple, and there's a lame man. Lame man is begging alms, and Jesus says, or Peter says, I don't have any money to give you. No silver, no gold. But what I've got, I'm going to give you. So he reached down, grabbed him by the hand, stood him on his feet, and the man went walking and leaping and praising God, totally healed. What happened? Everybody's attention was on that situation. And Peter used the opportunity to stand up and then preach the gospel. And people got saved. Things happened. Of course, they got put in jail too, but that's another story. But you see, Jesus knew what was going to get the attention of the people. And so he says to his disciples, I want you to go out, and first thing I want you to do is I want you to heal the sick. And, so he added the and on there, and tell them that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we talked about last night in the message, tell them that the kingdom of heaven has come near to them. Well, the disciples went out and did it. They went out, went into the villages round about, healed the sick, preached the gospel of the kingdom. Do you know that was the gospel that Jesus preached? Jesus went into the wilderness for temptation. Remember that story? He was in there 40 days, nights, fasting, and he was tempted by the devil. When he came out, do you know what Matthew tells us? He came out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, talking about what was about to come to pass. So they did it, and they come back to Jesus. And in verse 17, in Luke 10, 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy. I like that part. I like the joy part. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I like that. What did Jesus tell them to do? Go heal the sick. Amen. Preach the gospel of the kingdom then. But use the healing to get their attention, get people to come. What's going on here? Then preach the gospel of the kingdom. Sometimes we do it the other way around. That's all right, too. I'm not against preaching first. But the disciples came back to Jesus rejoicing. I like that. Good report. But I like what Jesus said to them, too. Sometimes I hear people teach, and I wonder why we teach in certain ways. And I think the reason is because this is what we've heard taught all of our lives. So we're just going to continue and teach it and teach it and teach it and teach it until everybody believes the same thing. But what if we're wrong about something? You ever ask that question? What if we missed something? Every time I've heard anybody talk about verse 18, this is virtually what they say. Well, Jesus is there with his disciples, and his disciples are all excited about what has happened, and they come back telling Jesus the good report, and Jesus says, and I'm going to put it in modern words, that ain't nothing, boys. I tell you what I saw 10, 15, 20 million years ago in heaven back there, way back yonder before anything was ever created. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Well, Satan did rebel, and Satan was cast out of heaven. We know that. But let me ask you a question. I'm not going to ask Pastor Paul. I started to ask Pastor Paul, but I'm just going to have to. I'm going to ask all the rest of you. Is that all right? If you came in here next Sunday and you came to Pastor Paul and you were telling him about all the success and all of the blessings, all the things that were poured out on you this week, and he said, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you what happened to me. You know what that would do? That'd be like throwing cold water on you. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. Here's what I think Jesus was talking about. Now, this is my opinion. You can disagree with me, but I believe this is true. I believe Jesus was saying to his disciples, boys, while you were out there doing what I told you to do, healing the sick, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, I saw over in the spirit realm. Do you know you and I live in two realms at the same time? This is the physical realm that we're in this morning. We're in the physical realm. I can look and I can see you with my eyes. I can reach out and touch my brother with my hand. I can get close enough to see those beautiful eyes. Welcome. But you see, this is the physical. But the spiritual realm is just as real. In fact, I think it's more real than this, because this we're going to lay down one day. That spirit man, that spirit woman on the inside of you and me is going to live forever. And so Jesus is saying to them, this is me. This is me talking because the other leaves me cold. The other leaves me wondering, well, why did Jesus act like a smart aleck to them? I don't think he was doing that. What he was saying was, while you were out there, I saw what was happening in the spirit. And every time you cast out one of those demons, every time you healed somebody that was sick, every time you preached the gospel of the kingdom and somebody responded to it, I saw what was happening in the heavenlies. Satan was being cast down. He's being cast down. He's being cast down. Do you know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? In the book of Hebrews, it says that, of course, Jesus has gone to be with the Father. I mean, he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But it says that he is waiting expectantly for his enemies to be made his footstool. Now, wait a minute. If he is waiting expectantly for his enemies to be made his footstool, it means that somebody's got to make his enemies his footstool. Somebody has got to put their foot on the devil's head as well as what Jesus did when he went to the cross. That means you and me. Nobody's left. You and me. That we have got to walk in that power here upon this earth. In fact, in Hebrews it says he's waiting expectantly. I remember when Sherry and I first got married, after about 2 years there, she came in the house, or I came in the house one day, and she said, "Guess what?" And I said, "What?" She said, "We're expecting." You know what we were expecting? Robert. He came along a few months later. Hallelujah. But, you know, we use that word, expecting. Jesus is expecting something to happen. He is, in fact, if the Bible's true, and I believe the Bible is, but if the Bible's true, he is waiting expectantly for you and for me to do something. And that is to overcome the enemy. You ever seen that before? You ever heard that before? You may not. I may be telling you stuff that you have never even considered. Because I tell you what, there were years that I never considered any of this. Why? Because I had all of the theology that I had been taught over and over and over and over and over again. And most of it was correct. But every once in a while I discovered something that I needed to take and pay attention to. And I had to pay attention to the fact that Jesus said, while you guys were out there, you were doing that work, I saw what was happening in the spirit. I saw Satan being cast down. Or we might even say it this way, I saw him being put under my footstool. What am I talking about? I'm talking about what Jesus goes on to say in verse 19. In verse 19, he looks at these same disciples who have just been excited and talking about all the things that they found out that they could do, like casting out demons as well as healing the sick and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus saw what was going on in the spirit realm, and he says, and I give to you authority. I give to you authority. How many believers do we have in here today? Come on, raise your hand. If you're a believer, raise your hand. You have authority. You have authority. You have authority in the name of Jesus. He says, I give to you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, And I think I repeated nothing three or four times a while ago when I read that. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we have authority? It's easy for me to stand up here and preach about it. It's easy for us to say, I have authority. Sometimes it's not easy to walk in. I'd love to tell you that you don't live in a real world. I'd love to tell you that there are no real problems in this life. I'd love to tell you that you walk with God, especially when you get saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you start learning about believing and trusting God, that you'll never have a problem. I'd love to tell you that. Pardon my taint, but it taint so. We live in a real world. That's why when Sherry was talking about some of the things that are going on, we need to make decisions that are correct. We need to make preparations that are correct. That's being led by the Spirit, by the way. Now, he says we have authority. What is authority? Well, let me just give you an example. This is one that probably some of you have dealt with sometime in your life. You're driving down the highway and you see the red lights behind you or the blue lights, whichever your sheriff's office or police force has, and they're directing you to pull over, and you pull over, the guy comes and he stands at your window and he says, I want to see your driver's license and I want to see your insurance card. Why did you pull over? Because of the authority. That's right, ma'am. Because that car with those lights and that uniform that he's got on represents something greater than him or her. Sometimes they get pulled over and the young lady that walks up beside the door, and she might not be young anymore, but anyway, she's and you're so much bigger than her, and you could just, you know, do. No, you can't. You know why? Because if you do, all of the power of government is going to come down on your head. Do you know, as believers, we have authority? Satan has power. You said, now wait a minute. I didn't know Satan has power, had power. Yes, he does have power. I heard somebody say one time, you know, the Bible talks about Satan being put under our feet, and he is, and put under the feet of Jesus, and all that is. But oftentimes what we see is, we see a picture of what God wants us to be involved in, and doing it in our own lives. I heard somebody say one time, well, you know, the devil has got all of his teeth knocked out. I agree. But it sure is gumming a lot of people to death. He's still working. And the way that we overcome that is to use our authority. Because he still has power. He's still alive and well on planet Earth. But God wants us to understand we have the authority. That means we have the authority to stand in his face and say, stop. But why do we have authority? Because God said so. Now that's not satisfactory to a lot of people. A lot of people, when you say, just because God said so, it's not enough. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. In Numbers 23:19, there's a man by the name of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. I've heard people call him a false prophet. Now, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he was a prophet. But he had one little problem. He was for sale. He would prophesy whoever had the most offering. You know, if you got $1,000 you want to put in the offering plate today, I got a word for you. Come on. I think he was kind of like that. I've heard that. I don't know if you have, Pastor Paul, but I don't do that. If I got a word for you, you don't owe me nothing. But he was for sale. So he tries to prophesy against Israel. God stopped his mouth. And this is what he had to say. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken and shall he not do it? And has he said it and will he not make it good? He says, behold, I have received command. He tried to prophesy against Israel, but God gave him a command. And that command, I have received command to bless. And he has blessed and I cannot reverse it. It's because God said so. That's why we have authority. Because Jesus said so. But Brother Eugene, I struggle with that because I've tried to use it. I tried to use my authority. And it didn't work. Well, I'm not going to be your accuser. I'm not going to stand here and accuse you today. But I am going to ask you this. Did you do it in faith? Believing that what God has said was true. Because the one thing is, we have it because Jesus said it. And God wants us to begin to live that way. Many years ago, I was teaching, and I may have shared this little story with you before, but I was teaching on faith. And I heard myself say something. You know, I have this little microphone extra here. It's not affecting the PA system or anything else. It's connected to a little digital recorder in my pocket. And I'm doing that because I want to record everything that I say. I want to make sure that if I miss a word in the song, I can go back and work on that one. But I want to make sure that if I speak prophetically to you, that I've got it. Because sometimes equipment fails. Sometimes we don't have it. And so, but back in those days, my recorder was one recorder and reel-to-reel tapes. Some of you remember that. Some of you old enough to remember before the cassette and before the 2 weeks that the 8-track worked, and before the CD and the DVD and now the thumb drive and all of that. You remember some of that. But I had to go back and rewind the tape to see what I had said, because I had said something that I knew was going to be important to my ministry. And this is what I heard myself say while I was teaching on faith. Faith is just acting like God told you the truth. I want to say it again. Faith is just acting like God told you the truth. God is not a man that he should lie, the prophet said. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good or bring it to pass? You see, faith is just acting like God told you the truth. And so here we're talking about authority. Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I take him at his word. And I believe that his word works. So how do we walk in that authority? Today, our praise and worship team took us into a place with God. And one of the songs that they used this morning is, I Speak Jesus. I Speak Jesus. Whenever I heard them practicing that, inside I was saying yes. Why? Because that's what we speak. We're speaking Jesus. Jesus. Sherry and I were in Colombia in South America a number of years ago. We'd gone to the city of Armenia. In fact, Sherry shared last night about hearing the voice of God and not going to Colombia on a trip. They had an earthquake in the city of Armenia. This was not the time that I'm telling you about, but this was before. And God had spoken to us through one of our intercessors. You're not supposed to go on this trip. And we did not go. And we were not there in that city when that earthquake happened, because over 75% of the city was totally destroyed. We would have been in the middle of it. God saved us. But this is another time. We had been to Armenia. We were on the way back to Cali, Colombia. Sherry, our translator, and I were in the back seat. One of the elders of the church was driving, and his son was sitting over in the passenger seat in the front. And I want to tell you, the guy driving couldn't drive and talk at the same time. Because whenever he talked to his son, he had to look at his son. And we're on the mountain roads. We're in the Andes Mountains, and there's no guardrails. And sometimes it's 400 or 500 feet down there to the next place where something might stop. And we're going around curves. And this guy's driving, and we look up, and we're going around the curve. And on this side, there's a mountain. And in front of us is a truck. And we're passing in that curve. And coming straight at us was another truck. We didn't have time to have a prayer meeting. We didn't have time to call all the elders of the church and come in and anoint us with oil and pray in the name of the Lord. We didn't have time to do anything. We had time to say, Jesus! Well, I'm here telling the story because we didn't get off the road, because if we would have gotten off the road, we would have gone down one of those precipices. But when we said Jesus, we looked in the window behind us, and the truck we were going to hit was going away from us. We didn't go off the road. We didn't go around him. We didn't go over him. I don't know if we went through him. I don't know how we did that. But one moment, we were going to hit head on. The next moment, he was behind us, traveling in the other direction. Why? Authority. We believe what we say. We believe what Jesus said. He said, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. I don't know what the difference is in every situation. But I know that we are in this building today, and I'm standing here preaching to you alive because I believed what Jesus said. Can I tell you that there was some little bit more to that story than what I just shared with you? Because when we got to Cali, Colombia, a couple of hours later, people that we were staying with there, he was a Palestinian Christian and used to be a Muslim, and he had found Jesus as his Savior and been filled with the Holy Spirit. And his wife was a Colombian Christian, and he comes running out the door to us, and he said, "What happened? What happened?" And we told him, and he said, "I want to tell you. About 2 hours ago, I could quit praying for you. Because up until that time, He said, I was laboring in prayer for you and for Sherry and for Andy, our translator. Why? Because God was using that intercessor to stand in the gap. Yes, we said Jesus, and yes, we either went through, over, under. I don't know how it happened. But we were safe and sound. And the moment that that was over with, God released him. He didn't have to pray anymore. You see, God gives us authority. And Hasim, that's his name, was praying and using his authority for us. My, how things work together. You see, that's the way God is. God wants us to understand that you and I have authority. But he also wants us to understand, and this is really not a part of the message, but he wants us to understand that he has other people praying for us too, using their authority. Hallelujah. Next week, week after next, beginning of April, Sherry and I are supposed to be in the eastern part of France, Switzerland, all those places. One of our intercessors called us a few weeks ago and said, you're not supposed to go. Thank God we have not bought the ticket yet. Because we're not going. Why? Because God has given us warning. I don't know if that thing in Ukraine is going to blow up and all of those countries are going to be attacked. We have no idea. But we're not going. Not because of fear, but because God spoke through someone that we respect his authority. God wants us to realize that he has given this as a gift. So why does it work? Because God said it. And why else does it work? Because it's a gift. Jesus said, I give you authority. That's a gift to every one of us. I like gifts. I like to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But I like gifts. I like it when Christmas comes around and birthday comes around. And I like it, you know, whenever I get a card in the mail from somebody saying, Happy birthday, and there's a $50 check or bill or something. I like that. Do y'all like that? You know, as I've gotten a little older, I just enjoy having that next birthday. By the way, the next one's going to be in December. It's going to be 79. And No, I didn't say that. Yes, I did. I like gifts. What did Jesus do? He said, I give you this gift. And that gift is authority so that you can stand in the face of the enemy and you can overcome in the face of the enemy. God's word is his gift to us. And whatever he says in his word, that's what he wants to have accomplished in our lives. And so, I want to encourage you. You have been given authority to walk upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You have been given authority to believe God to do whatever the need is. Is in your life. I use it. One more story and I'm going to finish. 1978, we moved from Auburn, Alabama, where we had pastored a church for several years, back down to the state of Louisiana, where we were when we got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We went down to be the dean of a Bible school there in Lafayette, Louisiana. You notice I didn't say Lafayette, I said Lafayette, because that's how they say it among the Cajuns down there in South Louisiana. Louis Lafayette. Anyway, we were in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I was learning to fly. I love to fly. God had spoken to me and told me to learn to fly. And I didn't have the money for it. And by the way, in those days, you could learn a whole lot cheaper than you can today. $150 an hour today, or $200 an hour today for a little bitty airplane, that's a lot of money. But anyway, back then, it was like $13 an hour. And that was wet. That means it's full of gas. So anyway, I was learning to fly. I was obeying God. So I finished my flight lessons down in South Louisiana. I'd started them in Alabama, and I finished up down there. And one day I was out practicing. I was by myself, solo in the plane. I was up about 3,000 feet, and I was practicing something called a power on stall. Anybody ever flown an airplane? Am I the only one in here? Well, good. Hallelujah. Well, I was doing this power on stall. A stall is whenever you get that plane in a configuration to where it quits flying and starts falling out of the air. Literally. And so here I was. And in order to do this, I've got to demonstrate it just a little bit. You got a rod on the, I was in a Cessna. There was a rod on the dash for the fuel in and out. You got this yoke in front of you. Looks sort of like a steering wheel, but sort of half. And then you got two pedals on the floor. These are rudders. And you have to use those pedals to keep everything straight and level. And so I was up 3,000 feet. To do this stall, I had to give it all the gas, speed that engine up as high as it goes. Pull back on that yoke toward my chest, and the plane would start going up, 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 up. And then there's a little horn that goes off, and it warns you, get ready to stall because this plane's going to quit flying. It's going to come over and start going toward the ground. That's what that little noise means. But remember, you got these things on the floor called rudders. Got your feet on them. Well, I did it. Up, 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 up I went. Heard the little horn. Plane came over. I went, took a little bit of the gas out, slowed the engine down a little bit. I kept everything straight and level with my hands, but I forgot to use my right foot. And that right foot was going to keep that plane from flipping upside down. When I didn't use my right foot, guess what happened? That plane flipped upside down and went into an inverted spin. Listen, there wasn't anybody else in that thing with me except God. And here I am, 3,000 feet, spinning toward the earth. Let me tell you about my grandmother. My grandmother used to say, Gene, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. And I want to tell you, it's not probably what you're thinking right now. But what was in the well began to come up in the bucket, and I began to praise God. And as I began to praise God in the midst of that situation, suddenly I found myself doing things that I had not been taught, because I was in a particular plane that you don't fly upside down. It's not designed for that. And all of a sudden, that little plane flipped again. And I was flying straight and level. You know what I really believe? Oh yeah, I did what I could do because I felt I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do that. But I believe there was an angel. One on that end, that right or left wing. It was actually upside down, it's the right wing. and one on the other end of this one, two angels. And they just said, hey, let's swap positions. And they swapped positions. What am I saying to you? That whenever I started praising God in the middle of that, praising God, not that I was going to die in the middle of the marsh of South Louisiana. I was praising God that I'm going to live. I'm going to win this battle. You see, that's authority. And I'm standing here telling you the story. Let me tell you one more little footnote. I went back and did it again. This time I did it right, because I knew if I'd ever put my feet back on the ground with having that unsuccessful stall, I probably would never get back in the airplane. So I did it again. And it worked. You see, God wants us to understand that He has given us authority in the name of Jesus, and that you and I can speak life. I wish I had time to tell you story after story after story that are true stories of the things that have happened in our lives over these last 49 years that we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because we chose to believe what Jesus said. He said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Father, I want to thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that you are causing your word to come alive in our lives. And Father, I thank you that you are doing everything that you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen.